Okay, good morning. Welcome to this side of the road, I guess. How is everyone today? Perfect. Okay, so for those that haven't met me in one of the previous sessions yesterday, my name is Dandy. I'm Global Technology Lead at Microsoft Corporate for Data Platform, Big Data, Advanced Analytics. Been with Microsoft about 8 years. And as you could probably hear from my accent, I had a little chat with a guy in the back there. I'm from Belgium originally. I have been living in Seattle for about 8 years. It's great to be at Ignite New Zealand. This is my second time here. Key things I like about coming to Auckland is the weather is exactly the same as Seattle. Okay, and I have the data to actually prove that. So what we're going to do in this session, a couple of things. Okay. First of all, we're going to give an overview of Cortana Intelligence Suite. Some of the content that we're going to be talking about might not go as deep as you would like. This is a very broad topic area, and I try to consolidate as much as I can within the 60 minutes that we have together. Okay? We're going to talk about things like stream analytics as well and how do things fit together. Core thing of the session that I want you to get out of it is really give you an idea on the capabilities and what you can do, and how you could bring innovation and start using the services that come with Cortana Intelligence Suite to build out modernization, gather data insights, and so on, okay? I also have a guest speaker with me, Neville. He's gonna come up in a bit and introduce himself and talk about how they implemented a Cortana Intelligence solution here in New Zealand to really drive innovation and predictive analytics on top of that, okay? So let's get started. I click here. So we kind of talked about this. There's three major trends that are happening in our industry. It's big data, IoT, it's cloud, and it's driving intelligence out of that. Okay, so that's a quite common scenario. Now, when we look at the cloud capability, when you think about hyperscale and hybrid opportunity, the ability to implement something at speed and at scale at a cost-effective price, that's going to be a cloud scenario. Just think about what you would do if you want to get sensor data together from millions of devices, have that stream over a network infrastructure, and come into your own data center. Okay? You would need to have a lot of infrastructure to provide the high availability, the capacity in the pipeline. Okay? So the logical things for everything that we do around IoT, sensors and devices that are internet connected to begin with, is actually work on a cloud solution. Now, if you want to build an intelligent solution, the differentiation for an intelligent solution is that you actually start leveraging some of the things that are hot and trending in the market, but actually drive a lot of innovation as well, okay? It's Wednesday morning, right? It feels like Monday morning to me. And typically on a Monday morning, what people tend to forget when they come back to work, Friday they were forced to do a password reset, mandatory. And Monday morning, they get into the office, they forget their password, right? So what are you gonna do? You're gonna have to call the IT help desk and you're gonna have to tell them that, hey, I did forget my password. It's a pretty common scenario, right? The question you need to ask yourself there is, do you really need to speak to a person to reset your password? Because he's only there to facilitate and help you. Or is that a technology where you can think about automation? It's like, hey, I'm calling the help desk. Help desk is asking me to authenticate. I get authenticated successfully. So the next step is automatically it will send me a password. I still might have access to email because my password is saved. So I can get a reset link, click on the reset link, reset my password and done, okay? Without any form of human interaction. So quite a capability there. So that goes into some of the cognitive understanding that is part of our Cortana Intelligence Suite, but we're going to be talking about how you use those APIs and those capabilities as well. And that, of course, also goes into an intelligent bot system, of which you're going to be seeing quite a couple of sessions at Ignite here that talk about how you could complete tasks using intelligent bots, monitor and set alerting, and get things done in a proactive, natural way, leveraging language, leveraging speech, and leveraging some of those technologies. Now, if you look at driving intelligence, there's a couple of things that come to play for each of the industries or verticals that you work in. If you work in marketing, you probably want to have some customer feedback analysis. What are customers saying about your products, about your technology. If you work in retail, or you probably want to do some product innovation, or actually do some personalization and do product recommendations. I think when you look at web shopping, there's some key components there that you look at where customers that bought this product also bought that product. You bought this, you might be interested in that. Okay, so how do we build those technologies in a very efficient way and very straightforward? If you are in the finance world and business, you probably want to look into risk management, and you probably want to look into fraud management. So there's a set of solutions and opportunities within each of those areas that we're trying to address actually using our Cortana Intelligence Suite. Okay? So with that, we're gonna spend a little bit of time talking about the Cortana Intelligence Suite. What are the services that come into play with that, and how do these work together? Okay? First of all, for a solution, you need data. Where do you get your data from? Your data could come from multiple data sources that already exist. They could come from applications, or they could come from sensors and devices, okay? When we look at the sensor and devices capabilities, that needs to be loaded into a system that is part of our Cortana Intelligence Suite and a set of services that we're gonna click and drill down on before we can actually drive intelligence and then drive actions or interactions with through applications, through people actions, or through automated systems. Now, the key mindset is that we have at Microsoft is we want to transform your data into intelligent actions, and we want to get you there fast. So that's the core purpose of the Intelligence Suite. So we'll be talking about some of the pre-configured solutions that will get you there fast. And there's a couple of things. When we talk about machine learning, you're going to see that we have the ability to actually use an entire pre-configured solution that you could go out and deploy, and you just have to connect your data to it. Or you have the ability to use what we call experiments, and you could start using those experiments within your applications. And then when we think about the machine learning and analytics, we're gonna have a quick look on Machine Learning Studio, store our data probably more likely in a big data store, and we're gonna be doing information management around that. How do we ingest it? How would you transform it? And then how do we drive intelligence out of it and keep that going? When we think about intelligence, we think about the cognitive services, the bot framework, but we also think about Cortana integration, which is actually built on top of this technology. Okay, if you look at Cortana in Windows 10, it actually is language aware, it actually drives innovation, and it actually uses technology that will give you intelligent responses and let you drive actions out of it. Okay? One of the things that I use the most is based on the traffic pattern that comes up when I'm back home, it will tell me, hey, you have an appointment here or an appointment there, you need to leave right now based on traffic. So you get those recommendations coming out. Now, from an information management perspective, that means that you're gonna be bringing data in, and there's a couple of ways you could bring data in. You could use Azure Data Factory as a mechanism to pump data from a variety of data sources into any of your big data stores. Now, that doesn't necessarily need to be a big data store. That could be SQL database, could be whatever, could be file systems as well. So you could just put that to blob storage and so on. But that data factory allows you to connect those multiple data sources together, ingest data, cleanse the data, and bring those in. What we're not gonna focus on as part of this session is the Azure Data Catalog. What I can actually do with Data Catalog is built a catalog that people could go to, find out which data is available through them as part of their organization, and start consuming that data. And you're gonna see that lighting up in Power BI as well, where you will be able to say, hey, I'm gonna get Power BI, connect it to an Azure Data Catalog, and show which information is available and certified within my organization. So I can actually pull that data in and work with that. And then, of course, there's Event Hubs. And Event Hubs is a key mechanism to drive sensor data and devices information directly into a service bus. So it's basically a service bus architecture that allows you to hyperscale and partition and actually have multiple data streams coming into the Event Hub that you're then going to be pick up for processing using any of the other technologies. Okay? And we'll have a look at those technologies specifically. Sorry. So then the machine learning and algorithms, we'll be looking at stream analytics and how we can do analysis and drive analysis on the streaming data. And we'll talk about the machine learning for a bit as well, how you're gonna imply and use the machine learning, and then we get into the dashboard and visualization as part of the entire suite. Huh? Now, we think about ingesting data, we think about combining relevant data from anywhere, okay? We think about the scale, the capability, and we can actually bring that into what we call Azure Data Factory. So that's a very simple step, very straightforward, okay? Then, of course, we're gonna drive that analytics, just like I mentioned, and then we're gonna go and work with those Cortana Suite capabilities. Now, one of the things that I did mention earlier is pre-configured solutions, an intelligence aspect, dashboards and visualization, machine learning, big data stores and information management. So you have the capabilities in terms of the integration, you have the capabilities in terms of the big data store and use Hadoop or use complex event processing to drive machine learning and advanced analytics that actually could use R to actually get those data insights as well. If we were to map that to each of the products, we see on the intelligence space, we have Cortana, Bot Framework, and Cognitive Services. Dashboards and visualizations would be Power BI or Application Insight as part of Visual Studio. Machine learning and advanced algorithms could be machine learning. It could be Data Lake or HD Insight. Data Lake Analytics, Stream Analytics, we could put on top of that as well. And then from the data stores, as I mentioned earlier, Blob Storage is an option. SQL Data Warehouse, SQL Database, or Data Lake Store is one of the options that we could use there as well. Okay, and then the information management, orchestration, and event hub and processing is actually all done using Event Hub Data Catalog or Data Factory. Okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm actually gonna switch over to my laptop here and get to some of that data. Okay. So yesterday I was, how many of you were in the Power BI session yesterday? I guess not everyone, because there's more people in this room today. So what we did yesterday is actually we talked about the Power BI dashboard that I've built, okay? And this is a live dashboard that will get data actually coming from sensors and devices, okay? Now, the only blocker that I see happening here is actually uploading my data. Doesn't seem to land into my database, so I guess there's some IP ports that might have been blocked or whatsoever. So I actually cannot show you the live dashboard at this point. But we're gonna go into the concepts on how we actually do that, okay? So one of the first things that if you want to ingest data, you need to set up an event hub, okay? Basically, you have to set up that service bus that's going to identify where you're gonna be landing content. And so what I can do is I can actually go to the Azure portal and so on my Azure portal I am going to create an event hub. Okay. So I can actually scroll down here and I should see that I have event hubs here in my portal. Okay. I already have an event hub defined here, but what I'm gonna show you is how you're gonna be creating a new event hub, okay, a service bus. So I click add. That's gonna load, okay. What that's gonna ask me is, hey, what is the name of your event hub? What is your pricing tier you're gonna be setting up? To land that in, what resource group and what location, okay? I'm gonna call this, I like SQL demo bus, okay? Very compelling name. Put that into a resource group, okay? And I hit create, and at that point, the creation of my event hub will be done. Now, of course, I can fully automate this. I can use ARM deployment template on Azure as well to actually configure that. So when we go into the pre-configured solutions, that is actually what happens. The pre-configured solution will deploy a template. It will spin up your event hub. It will spin up your stream analytics jobs and so on. Now, once that I have an event hub defined, and I'm actually going to use the existing one, okay, you see that that event hub consists of a couple of properties, okay? So looking at the properties of the event hub, I can see where is it created, what the status is, okay? I can actually click down into the overview of that event hub. I can see it's currently active. I can also see what the amount of partitions are, okay? And actually, in there, I can go to each of those details, okay? Now, once that I get an event hub, okay, as I said, when I create that, I can specify what's the partition count, what's the time window, what's the size, because you're going to have to define, hey, what's the size of data that I do want to get in? How long am I going to keep my messages in my service bus? Okay, you can say, I have a very short time window where I'm going to be loading data. After that, delete it from the event hub. I don't need it anymore. Okay? And so once that you created that event hub, your landing spot for your data, your next step will be to create what we call a stream analytics job. So stream analytics allows me to read from that event hub and actually process that data in a very similar way that you select data from a query. So going through that, we're gonna scroll down here a bit as well. And I'm actually going to see that I have a stream analytics job, okay? Now, my stream analytics job does collect temperature data, okay? Where does it collect temperature data from? It actually is collecting that from a device that I've shown yesterday, okay? And that sits right next to me here. If I find out where that camera is, okay? There we go. Sorry for the poor quality of that. Okay, it is sensor data generating a number. The temperature in this room here is 20 degrees Celsius. It's an IoT device. It's a Raspberry Pi that sits here, okay? And it just hooked up to a couple of sensors. I can actually show you a couple of things here. When I push the button, I have a button here, and say, hey, I'm gonna change that LED status that I have here, okay, that is showing as green right now. If I can move that. Okay, I can move that. Okay, it's showing green right now. So I'm going to move that, push the button, and it's going to turn to red, and it says, now I'm in red mode. Okay, just to simulate what happens. Now, there's a couple of things that I can do here. I can see if I could bring up the temperature. Is there anyone with coffee in the room? Do you mind if I dip my temperature sensor in your coffee for a second? That's a weird question, isn't it? Okay. Well, let's just grab this temperature sensor here, and rather than dipping it in coffee, I'm going to dip it in a bucket of ice. Okay. What I'm going to see is that my temperature is going to go down. Logic, right? Okay. So every temperature change that you see here, and I'm having every 3 seconds I measure this, every 3 seconds I'm sending this data to my event hub. Okay? That's pretty compelling. Can you imagine if you have thousands of devices doing that at the same time? You're not going to be able to land that into a database and establish a database connection. You want to submit that to a service hub that you can actually partition, make giant and big, that allows you for a maximum scale. Okay, ooh, it's getting cold in here. I'm just gonna leave that running for a bit. Okay. Now, that temperature data that is coming in is, as I said, using a stream analytics job, and I can look at the settings of that job. Okay. So first of all, I can actually decide that I want to stop the job, okay? So let's stop that right here. and I'm actually going to take you to the classic Azure portal because I found that to be a bit easier to manage in terms of my Event Hub and Stream Analytics. So let's do this, okay? Because if you use or you have used the classic portal on Azure, that's exactly the same. So I did stop my Stream Analytics job, which means at this moment I'm not sending any data, okay? And the reason I decided to stop the job is because I wanted to show you the actual job configuration, okay? So I have my temperature data. It is currently stopped. Let's have a look at the details on that specifically, okay? First of all, I need to define an input, okay? So if I define a Stream Analytics job, I have to set up what is the input. And the input in this case is a data stream that is defined as an Event Hub. So when I click on that data stream and say my temperature data comes from an Event Hub, this is exactly how I'm going to be configuring this, okay? What is the name of my Event Hub, the service bus namespace? What's the Event Hub name? What is the policy that I'm using? And how am I getting the data in? I'm saying that my Stream Analytics job is picking up the data from my Event Hub using JSON, okay? Which means that I have to submit from my application, in this case, my sensor, I have to submit using JSON. So I actually have to generate an event submission, put my data into the cube using JSON, okay? Now, this is really where the technology comes into play nicely because, yes, I can use a .NET framework, but yes, I can also use things like Python, okay? What I actually did in this case, instead of using Windows IoT Core, I decided to configure that Raspberry Pi with Raspbian OS, install Python on it, and then download the Azure SDK for Python and use that. Okay, any developers in the room? Okay, now let me show you quickly on how much code you need to write to actually send things to an Event Hub. Okay, and to be clear, I am not a developer. Okay, but I can read this, right? So I configure to Pi using Azure SDK for Python. So my application says, from Azure Service Bus, import the Service Bus service, import JSON into Python because I want to send out my data in Python. So what I do there is specify my Service Bus service is your namespace. So that would be, in my case, I like SQL. Shared access key value, the name was default, okay? And then the shared access key value is the secret key that you configured when you set up Event Hub. Now, if I want to send data, I basically said, well, rather than pulling data from the device, I could just say here, well, I'm gonna send out the device ID and the temperature. Service bus, send event to the name of the Event Hub. In this case, I like SQL. What I'm gonna do next, just dump that JSON document, okay? That's all I do, 6 lines of code, okay? So very simple, right? So I did define that input, okay? Now if I have an input, I also have to tell Stream Analytics, what are you gonna do with this? I have to define an output as well. So if I look at the output, I actually defined 2 different things. And so the great thing about Stream Analytics, if you want to do live dashboarding, you can actually configure an output to go directly to a Power BI dashboard, okay? And that's what I did. I have an output that is defined as Pi data. The output, the sink that I flush this in, is called Power BI. And then I have another output that is called SQL database. Okay? Because what I want to do is a couple of things. From my service bus, I want to be able to drive a Stream Analytics, look for outliers, send alerts within a certain time frame, and then all the data that I want to, instead of pushing that to Power BI, all the data, I want to land it and secure it somewhere, because otherwise it doesn't go anywhere and it will expire in my event hub. Okay, so I decided two outputs. Now, of course, I have an input, I have an output. How do I get data from the input to the output? Is by defining a query that actually is going to do that. Okay, so that means that I have a query in which I define what I'm going to get from my input and what I'm going to get from my output. Okay, so I'm actually saying here, select the status, the distance. Let me zoom in on that a bit. Okay, select the status, the distance, the temperature, the device ID. Get me the event process, the UTC time, which comes from the event hub. Insert that into iLikeSQL data stream. So that's my output. It's going to go directly to SQL database. Okay, and I want to timestamp that by event process UTC time, which means I'm actually saying that, hey, just dump this, get every single set of data. Now, if I want to drive analytics on that, I want to kind of see like, hey, what I'm actually interested in is I'm sending this data every 3 seconds. If I want, what I want to find out is rather than sending this data every 3 seconds, which I need for archival purposes or legacy and compliance, I want to measure my metrics and my averages and put that out to my dashboard with a 20-second refresh or a 15-second refresh, okay? So in that case, what I can do is define the second output, okay? And in my second output, okay, I actually set, give me the maximum temperature, the minimum distance, the maximum distance, okay? Get the status, get me the log hour and the log date, insert that into my PI data data source, okay? And I'm gonna be specifying and grouping that into what we call tumbling windows. So I group that in windows of 15 seconds. So every 15 seconds, I take the average and I push it out to Power BI, okay? So basically it says, well, every 15 seconds means if I'm sending data every 3 seconds, I'm taking the average of three data streams, three data sets that I'm actually pushing out, okay? And that's how you need to think about that if you want to define outliers and so on. There's quite some great scenarios that actually go into that. Now, what I can do is I can actually test and say, I can test from a sample file, if I can remember where I put that. I should have a sample file here. Temperature data. So what I can do is when I set up that event hub, I can actually test and say, give me a sample of the data that is coming in. Because I can, rather than working with a live stream, I can first validate and test that everything is running at first. Okay? So we're gonna be bringing that in. I'm gonna say, okay, I'm going to test from that test stream data and actually look and see what I am getting in, okay? This is what I'm getting in. In the iLikeSQL data stream, so the data that is going to the SQL database, I get the status, the distance, the temperature, the device ID, and the system time, okay? So every time I push the button on that little pie here, every time I switch from red to green mode, it's gonna send me the status and says, hey, this has been sent in red mode, this has been sent in green mode, okay? In my demo, I showed you how to lower the temperature. What actually happens is if the device is overheating, it's actually, instead of creating a status red, green, it's going to generate me a status temperature alert. And I can then monitor and process my stream analytics job for temperature alerts as well, okay? If I work with IoT Hub on this, I can actually send back to the device and instruct it that I need to shut down or take a certain action, okay? So very effective, very easy to do, okay? Hey, this device is running at 29 degrees Celsius. What you're gonna do is you're gonna blast an additional fan or additional air conditioning on top of that, okay? Now, so I see what's coming in as my data stream, which is basically every single data set. What else I'm gonna see here is that I can actually download those results, okay? But I can minimize this and actually also see on what's going to be sent to my PI data, okay? And so on the PI data that goes directly to Power BI, I'm actually only sending the averages, and I said group those averages by the actual mode. So basically, this is going to tell me that three times a minute, okay, three or four times a minute, actually, I'm actually going to be getting the averages and send that out to the Power BI dashboard, okay? Now, that's where magic happens, because what happens at that point is I can go to my Power BI service. And as I go to that Power BI service, if I click on, sorry, if I go back here for a second, okay, and I scroll down and click here. No, that's not what I wanted. Sorry, I'm having a resolution issue here. What I can actually do is, instead of doing the get data, sorry about that, I can now actually connect that to a data source that's going to show up as that. I need to click here. So I'll scroll down here, and I see that I have a data set that is automatically being put there, okay? And that is actually the output of that sync that I defined. So it's going to show up as an output in my Power BI service, and I could start reporting directly of that, okay? And so that's what I did, actually, is I then generated a report that says, hey, this is my temperature monitor. It's collecting data from that live data source, okay? And it's going to give me the number of events logged, and it's going to give me the number of data processed. Now, if I hit refresh, it's going to try to refresh, but it can't refresh because there's nothing sitting in my event hub at this point. Why? Because I did not start the analytics job yet, okay? Actually, I stopped it here, so I'm going to start it again, okay? So let's start that right now, and at that point, my data will start streaming in, okay? That's how simple it is. Okay, it might look complex, but it's actually very simple. Define an event hub, define an output, define the query that you're going to do stream analytics with, send the data from your stream analytics to your output, and visualize. Okay, very little steps. Now let's go back to the presentation. Okay. Now, looking at the Cortana Intelligence Suite, we actually have a couple of great examples of customers that have been using our Intelligence Suite to drive innovation and drive insights from the devices. And so one of them actually is Ziosk. What Ziosk does is they actually have little terminals in restaurants. Okay, in the United States, they call these family restaurants. I think the logical term for most of us would be fast food restaurants. But what you can do is you can actually walk in there and you don't need to take an order from a waitress. You actually sit on the device and you say, I want to pick this and that and that. Okay? You can actually sign up for their rewards program, and then basically you walk in, you log in with your rewards program, you know exactly what you ordered last time, and you can then pick what you want. And at that point, they're also giving you product recommendations. Okay, the likelihood that someone that just ordered a double burger with extra bacon, the likelihood that that person is going to be eating fruit for dessert is probably not as high that when we give that person a very nice ice cream with a lot of toppings. Okay, so I could personalize that experience and actually have that show up on a display and say like, hey, how about dessert? Look how wonderful this is. Okay. And that's just great on that experience. Now, not only does that generate more money for the restaurant, it generates a lot of data insights, but what actually happened is the customer experience increased significantly. Okay? But the customer no longer needed to wait for the waitress to come back and ask for a check and process a credit card. what you can actually do and say, it's like, hey, this was great, I'm done, I want a check, tick, get me the check, swipe your credit card, and done. Walk out of the restaurant. And so some of these restaurants that they have been working with actually have been able to turn around their table service 7 minutes faster per table on average. Okay? Which means less people waiting in line to get a table, faster service, more customers. Okay? So a great scenario and a great story there. And then, of course, they use the entire suite to do predictions and recommendations on what you would like to do and like to show. Now, rather than talking about Ziosk and some of these other reference cases, I do want to invite Neville on stage, and he is going to walk us through a scenario that he implemented. So with that, I would like to welcome Neville Richardson. He's a CIO for Kotahi. And yeah, take it away, Neville. Tell us about the solutions you guys build.
Thanks, Dandy. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Neville. I'm the CIO or head of anything with a cable in at Kotahi. I was CIO at Sea Lord before that, and good to see at least one Sea Lord person in the room. And what I want to do today is speak a little bit about our journey with Cortana Analytics. But first of all, Kotahi, you know, who are we and what do we do? As you can see from the slide there, you know, we're around really making sure that New Zealand continues to have efficient global supply chains. So we live in the best country in the world, but we're also remote. And from a logistics perspective, we're really aware of that. So we need to make sure that New Zealand continues to be relevant in the supplier and carrier community. And how we like to differentiate ourselves is by collaborating not only with the people that call here, but also all of our customers in New Zealand, doing best in breed procurement, and above all, making sure we do best of breed optimization. So although we're a 4PL company that handles probably, I think right now, around 46% of all of New Zealand's containerized exports, we do imports as well, we consider ourselves primarily a data management business. So what that looks like in terms of what our customers want is really a process of we're taking available products in the market and we're composing those into logistics services that our customers want. We're considering constraints and then we're doing that best of breed optimization to make a transport booking. And then there's in terms of what should happen with that booking and what actually happens. So I'm sat there thinking about, you know, event hubs and going, oh, yeah, that's quite interesting because when things don't go as planned, we have to take an action. There's an intervention there. And quite often that intervention is the same thing. So could we take all of this information into an event hub and then prepackage the response to that event happening and actually automate the response? So this is where, you know, we're really thinking about Cortana Analytics to help us with that. But obviously we need to get ourselves into a stage where everything that we do is actually supported in that platform. So that's, you know, some of that is the ultimate goal, but you've got to get there first. For us, as I say, we leverage that volume to overcome our location in the world. We do best of breed optimization. Hopefully we provide, relevant services to our customers. We haven't always provided an order management that delights, but that's a big push for us this year. We do provide the best of breed data experiences, and really we get our efficiency through automation. So we're handling, you know, those 300,000 TUs or 20-foot equivalent units with less than 100 people in our business, which is actually unheard of in our industry. So what are the business requirements around BI? Well, there's the stuff that we do today. So looking from the point in time backwards. And an example of that, as we can see up there, is financial reporting. So what we want in terms of debtors ledger analysis, age debting, but also graphical representations of that. So we've had reports for Africa previously, but they haven't always been the easiest to use. And the ability to actually get in and slice and dice, to be able to have KPIs and dashboards around that, and actually automating some of this dashboarding as well. That's a requirement. A lot of people can do that already, and we actually went out to tender with our requirements. But what we wanted was one reporting platform for the whole business, so a common look and feel. So the real vexing question was, yeah, and how do we also provide the things that we want tomorrow? And that's not just the things we want as a business tomorrow, but it's also that forward view. And a great example of that is demand forecasting. So that's where we actually did a proof of concept. We had what we thought was a great process already. You know, once a month we would take all of the demand forecasts in. It was a highly human process. So although we used technology around it, it was still a 4-day exercise to go through that. We had a high degree of accuracy, but again, with our volume, even if you can get a fraction of a percentage point improvement, that's big dollars for us. And also getting faster answers to the questions that we need as a business. So, you know, how much vessel space do we need? Because if we get that wrong, that costs money, or we roll cargo, which is even worse. Do we need another vessel to call into New Zealand? And there's a lead time to that, so we need to be giving, eight weeks notice if we want changes like that. And how many empty containers do we need and where? So a lot of reporting questions. And then also being able to leverage predictive analytics. So how do we use machine learning to actually start to predict some outcomes? How do we then take action to improve customer outcomes? Because again, if you know with a high statistical likelihood that an event is going to happen and affect a customer, then why not already take the action to stop that event happening, even if it's not going to happen? And so, in order to do that, we need to bring in different data sources as well, like weather data, but things that we haven't even thought of actually has a relevance to, what goes on in the industry. And you can only do that with machine technology because, as human beings, we just can't keep up and we can't analyze that volume of data. So we've got to have a platform that will do all of those things. So as I say, we went out to market. And this is really the view of, look, we need to display the past, of course. We need the point in time of today, but also we need to start to predict the future. And in order to do that efficiently, what we wanted was a platform that actually delivers pre-configured solutions. Everybody displays the past. Everybody does that financial analysis. So why the heck would we want to be writing reports ourselves or designing our own, data warehouses and doing our own extracts? That's old school. We just want that as a service. In terms of predicting the future, how can we use models to actually help us do that? And how can we automate that? And how can we provide all of that in a common presentation layer? So the stuff in the past, how do we take that as a service so that we're actually spending the time as human beings analyzing and doing predictive analytics? So we're moving the effort in the team, especially the reporting team, from providing information in the past, because that's now a given, into doing really in-depth analysis and predictions. So how did we do it? So we did start a journey with Microsoft and one of the local vendors here. And we actually said, okay, we've gone out to tender, we've chosen Microsoft because you've said you can do the things that we want, but how do we make that come to life? And I'm no architectural expert, I'm no infrastructure expert as well, so if afterwards, for example, you've got some infrastructure questions, I do have my colleague in the front row here who no doubt will be able to answer those. But in effect, what we're doing is that historical data we're taking, the historical reporting we're taking from AX as an example, we're bringing it into the data warehouse. And then we're providing that straight to Power BI and providing the dashboard so that's now in the hands of finance and they can do the drill down, they can do the query, they can drive these things themselves. So that's the looking into the past. But we also look to the architecture and say, yeah, okay, but tell us how you can do the future bit as well. And that really is where we're taking in other forms of data, and that can be something as simple as an Excel forecast from one of our customers. Being able to bring in all these multiple sources of data into the same warehouse and driving that and starting to use machine learning models around that to drive the statistical forecast. This slide here is just showing, look, a lot of this really is as a service now. And this is what really was compelling for us to say, these data sources are known. The models are known. It's almost as easy as plug in and go. And then with some of our other line of business applications that are more bespoke, so there are some things within the logistics industry and certainly our business that are unique, and quite often we will develop our own thing for that, we can still drive those sources of data into this environment. And so you either get automatic insights because that's already set up, or you're starting to get some insights from the stuff that you've designed. Again, bringing it all through a nice common presentation layer. So just a little bit more detail around that. This slide is just representing, you know, how we're using the Azure Data Factory and Data Warehouse to connect in terms of the machine learning, where we took both the forecast parameters and the shipment orders into an ML model, and then we're driving out from that the results, and again, bringing that back out into the data warehouse. How easy is it? Well, number one, you've got a not very technically literate CIO standing up in front of you, hopefully being fairly articulate to say, hey, we're actually doing this. And a great example for me is this slide, to say, look, you know, look at that. You can get in there and you can actually drive not only the insights, but some of the setup yourself. So the BI is no longer, for me, an expert system. There still needs to be the process experts and the data experts, i.e. the people that deal with that in the business.
Now, what's really nice about this is if you look on the top there, you see recommendations. So this is actually the SQL database recommendations that kick in and say, hey, based on your top five queries by CPU consumption that you have there and the amount of database transaction units that you've been using, what I see here is that the past percentage usage was 41% of the DTU, so I do have the bandwidth to actually process more data within SQL database at this point. But the top right shows you recommendations that says, if you create an index on these tables, you're actually going to have high impact and get faster performance by doing so. So it has an index recommendation engine on top of that.
And in the past, you know, we would have done those things, but we would have been using, a partner, quite a few dollars an hour to do that. So we can. It's not just the cost; it's about the timeliness. You know, we can get straight in there and do this and do it ourselves. So in terms of ease of use, you know, slides like this they speak 1,000 words for me. And then actually moving into, you know, setting up the experiment. Again, I didn't do this. You know, one of my colleagues did this, and we actually did some work with our friends at Microsoft deciding which are the best models that we could use. But once we've made those decisions, actually driving the outcomes and setting up the experiments weren't too hard.
Yeah, and this is actually a great scenario, right? Because what you see here is like they're actually importing their shipment data and they're actually importing their forecast parameters. Then they're doing a data transformation, basically editing the metadata before they pass that on to a forecasting engine in which they're using a hierarchical time series, and they're doing forecasting using R code. So basically what they're saying is, from the data model that I have here, give me the forecast, plot the forecast in a time series, and then give that as an output to the web service. So now, with any new data stream that's coming in, they can actually use this forecast based on the data set and says, based on the trained model that I have in my machine learning engine, that's gonna be the forecast for this specifically with an accuracy of probably really high accuracy on this one because it's using a hierarchical time series.
Yeah. So you know, we're already in the 99s. I'm not gonna tell you exactly where we ended up, but you know, we're now in the high 99s in terms of very high in terms of the accuracy that we've got. And as I say, every increment there, given our volume, is worth a lot to us, and it's worth a lot to our customers. And it's not just about the cost saving, it's the accuracy of actually doing what we say we're gonna do. In terms of, you know, the technology, I've spoken a lot about, you know, putting the hands, all of this power in the hands of the user. My one recommendation, if you're looking to upskill within an IT team, would be, you know, keep an eye on R. R was, it's come out of Auckland. It's actually, you know, a New Zealand success story in terms of the development of that. But there isn't enough R resource around. So if you don't know anything about R, I would say, as an IT professional, an IT leader, you need to be bringing R expertise into your business if you're going to do this kind of thing. So, again, in terms of the data factory setup, this slide is just representing how easy it is to have a visualized walkthrough of the setup. So what I've done up until now is I've given you some real information. So these are the things that we've actually done. What I'm going to do now to finish off is actually just show you a couple of slides of sample data that we've, you know, dummy data that we've put in to give you an idea of now the sort of insights that the business gets. So, you know, this is a dashboard here around the demand forecasting. And again, you can do obviously a drill down in there based on, you know, customer, but also geographical location in terms of the commodity code in there. And also you can see there actually, you know, what's happening with the demand forecast and through that model, you know, what we think is going to happen. So sometimes it would be a guess based on, you know, good gut feel of some of our data team, and now we're putting some science behind it. That process, as I say, used to take us 4 days. In terms of the compute now and getting the information in, it's less than half an hour. And that, you know, I can't say anything more than that to say, look, we've used this technology to take a difficult process for us, where we're driving a higher degree of accuracy in a shorter period of time. And we've been able to set that up ourselves with some, you know, great assistance from Microsoft. And the final slide there is really just showing around, you know, some of the dashboards and things that you can do, again, with sample data. And these are dashboards that are done by the business. They're not done by IT. So we've got the, you know, the key users and the data people in the business actually producing these things themselves through the technology. So hopefully that gives everybody an idea that actually this isn't, you know, it's not all slideware. I would love to have come and actually demonstrated the system to you. But as I say, given we've got 40 customers' data in there, I can't really do that. But I am happy to answer any questions after the session. So back over to you, Dundee.
Thank you. So great job. One of the other things I actually would like to show you is like these solutions. I talked about the pre-configured solutions and the pre-configured experiments. If you actually go to Microsoft.com/Cortana Intelligence, that will take you to the Cortana Intelligence portal. And so some of the things that you're going to see there is a couple of things. You can actually look at solutions and go into one of these predefined solutions and click, let's say I want to look at that by industry. Okay. And if I look at that by industry, you're going to see a couple of examples there, like, hey, you're interested into retail and consumer. You're interested in the personalization. You can actually try out the retail execution with a solution with Cortana built in. So that actually, you could just try out an entire application. What actually is also interesting is the Cortana Intelligence Gallery, okay? And so the Cortana Intelligence Gallery gives you those predefined solutions and gives you those predefined experiments. So if I have a solution that say, hey, I'm a predictive maintenance engine that I'm building out for aerospace, you can actually install that and it will deploy the entire solution for you. So it's a fully defined solution where you just have to connect the data sources to it. One of the other things that actually is quite interesting is from a tools perspective and so on, we actually also have a Linux and a Windows data science virtual machines. The IT Anomaly Insight is actually a great way to look at IT log files and actually look into predictions and use that as part of a solution as well. You could just click on that, okay? It will take you, give you a full description of the entire solution, the dashboards you get with it, but most important, it will show you that solution diagram, okay, that you see here. So you have a way to, oops, sorry, I didn't zoom that right, okay? So you actually have the data ingestion, what goes into Event Hub, the real-time analytics that you're using Stream Analytics for, you're storing data into table storage and SQL DB, you're then using Azure Data Factory and machine learning with anomaly detection that is all pre-configured for you. And so if you want to deploy that, 30 minutes to deploy an entire predictive solution. That's how simple it is, okay? Looking on the experiment specifically, let's say, hey, I want to start using one of the predefined experiences, there's actually is a couple of really interesting ones that goes into churn detection and so on that you could just actually easily deploy. Or you can actually say, I want to be using machine learning APIs, such as translated APIs, where I have a data stream that's coming in and I want to put that to a translated API. I can actually do that in a very similar fashion. Okay, so you have that pre-canned out of the box, very simple and very easy to deploy. Now, what else I want to show you is the cognitive services. So when we think about cognitive services, you've seen that happening in the keynote, you've seen that happening in a couple of sessions. And so looking at each of these cognitive services and the APIs that we have available where you can actually build applications around, is we have the computer vision API, which allows you to actually extract information from images, emotion API, face API, and video API. I think you've seen those in the keynote, right? Where we do the howold.net and so on. Actually, there's also a twinsornot.com website where you can compare pictures and actually see if there's a match between two people. How much do these people look alike, or they're related, or they family, using those APIs. So some really great examples as well. custom recognition intelligent services, currently in private preview, but is actually fine-tuning speech recognition. And what I wanted to show you as well is the language understanding intelligent service, or LUIS. And what I can actually do there is build applications. And so what I had earlier is a little application that I built to show you the capabilities of what you could do with call center automation. I'm going to call my help desk because I did forget my password.
Hello, Dandy. Welcome to the help desk. How can I help you today?
I want to reset my password.
Okay, you want to reset your password. I just sent you an email with a reset link.
That's simple.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
Now, as you see, the microphone is still up, so it will actually try to translate everything that I'm saying right now. Look how fast this is going. It's taking speech. It's putting that into the language processing. It might come up with some typos because of my Belgian accent. And it's going to try
to
understand.
So, you want to check the status of your order. Can you please tell me your order number?
That's exactly what I wanted to do. How did you know that?
Sorry, I couldn't understand you. Can you please repeat your order number?
1958.
So, you want to check the status of your order number 1958. Please wait, it won't be long.
It's longer than I wanted it to be. Okay, and it's not showing me what the status of my order is. Okay. So, look at those capabilities. What probably happened here is I might have a firewall issue at this part of the venue where it fails to read from the database. I assume that's what happened. But I think you get the core concept of that recognition and the service that it's calling. It actually is retrieving data from my database and then bringing that straight back. Now, to wrap this up, just a couple more things to show you is, so I did show you the intelligent APIs, which is face, computer vision, text analytics, and speech. Those are so easy and very simple to actually start using, okay? You can tap that directly into your applications, use translation services and so on. There's also search capabilities, like some of the things that we're doing with face recognition by default, because we have that tightly integrated with Bing. You can actually play a video and do live video sentiment analysis, identify celebrities and videos and so on, because we have that trained into the data science model. Okay, so those cognitive services are actually very easy to use and very easy to implement. You could roll out your own and build applications around that fairly simple and then combine that all together. From a flexibility perspective, you could use basically any kind of device. You could use Python for programming as well. It's very well tested. It is a very active community. And it's probably one of the hottest topics when it comes to application development and modernization with that. Okay. So with that, if there's any more questions, I gladly take those individually at the backside of the room. I do want to make the stage available for the next presenter that's coming up. And I do want to thank you for your time. I'll be around the rest of the week, and I hope to talk to you as well tonight at the, is it tonight reception, I think? Okay, I'll talk to you tonight or whenever it feels like. Thanks.